I'm John Batchelor. This is Friends of History Debating Society with Jeff Bliss, who is Pacific Watch. And special duty for Pacific Watch is looking at the state of California with the fires, with the drought, with the questions about electricity and brownouts, with the recall of the governor, and the exodus from California documented these last years of people moving to lower tax or easier to live states. Is this the end of California? No. The answer is easily no. But in the meantime, the people of California are struggling. Jeff, a very good evening to you. I begin with the Dixie Fire. When last we talked, you had identified this one as it's going to be big. I take it now, calling it a monster makes it big. Where is this, Jeff, and what is it threatening?
Good evening, John. This fire, the Dixie Fire, is in Plumas County, which is in Northern California. It's probably, it's not very far from the Nevada-California state line, really. But it's already grown to almost 190,000 acres in terms of burned land, and that's really quite substantial. When you get up past 20,000 acres, you're talking about big fires, and certainly when you get over 100,000 acres, it moves into this monster fire category. I don't think there's anything official, but that's certainly something that firefighters have been talking about. It's very densely wooded in that area, and some of these areas are very remote and near impossible to get to. And even though there are firefighting aerial apparatus dropping water and FOSS check and other things on the fire, they just really can't keep up with it. It's a tough battle. Matter of fact, it's a losing battle until they get to a point where it burns itself to a place where either they can set up a better containment line or until there's no more fuel for it to burn and they can knock it down. It's a terrible fire and one of several in the West that have really taken a toll.
The governor has declared a state of emergency. Is that unusual for the Dixie Fire? And you also note that this is where the big campfire of several years past took place. So why the emergency? What does that do?
Well, the emergency declaration allows the state to move more resources in, to reach out to other states that have mutual aid agreements and the federal government. It releases funds. It helps with things like disaster recovery for people who have already lost their homes and businesses. It sets a lot of things in motion early. But really, more than anything, it begins to tell the story of just how serious this fire is. For the governor to declare it ahead of time, I mean, ahead of it being knocked down as it being a disaster declaration tells you that it's very, very serious. Now, this has happened before at other fires, like you mentioned the campfire, but it's not every fire. I mean, we probably have hundreds of fires in the course of a year, some very small, others very large, but it's these large monster fires that get the declarations either as they're kicking off or in the middle of them, which is what's happening with the Dixie Fire.
You report that technology is now a big part of the story of fighting fires. I've read about how they're using AI to identify, and the communication system are perfect. But, Jeff, isn't it true, you've told me over the years, that the conditions are overwhelming? The drought, the fuel underneath is extremely dried out. The winds create a gust that they can't defeat. So no matter the technology, they look to be overwhelmed. Do I remember that correctly, that the conditions are just too ripe for a bad fire?
You're absolutely correct. We've had vegetation building up in some cases for several decades. We've had poor timberland management to go with it over the years, which has resulted in this buildup of what essentially is kindling in the under parts of the forest. You have the drought, you have, you know, high winds, warm weather during this time of year, exceedingly warm weather. So all of these things are going to make these, you know, fires worse than they normally would be. But the other part of it is, too, is even though they have the ability to look down on these fires, know where the hot spots are, know places to, you know, send the apparatuses to deal with the resources, you're still dealing with fires that are taking place in remote areas that are geographically difficult to get into, out of, or even fly air tankers over because they're box canyons or it's the visibility problems. There's a whole host of natural situations or problems that firefighters are facing that all the technology in the world isn't going to solve. They're going to have to come up with some other types of technology actually on the ground to deal with fires Right now, what you're looking about is, you know, surveillance, oversight, predictive behaviors, those types of things. But it's not enough to fight the fire, to knock it down. It helps the firefighters somewhat, but it's not the answer.
The Folsom Fire Department asked the city to declare a local emergency to lessen wildfire dangers. What does that mean, Jeff? They do not have a fire now, but they think there will be?
They do think there will be. And so what it allows them to do is, much like the declaration the governor has issued, is it allows them to get certain things in place, to already have things moved out of the city so they don't have to deal with them in the event the fire does happen, which they believe will come. It also makes sure that they have water correctly rationed or set out. Set out is probably the bad term, but, you know, set aside to deal with it, and to make sure they have all their plans in place to get going. Again, this is a realization of just the situation that they're in and that their neighbors are in. We're dealing with a terrible fire season. One that only promises to get worse. We're only in July, the middle of July, really. And what happens when we get to, you know, September or October is anybody's guess. But then you're dealing not only with a long, hot summer, but also the drought that's come along with it and the high winds that typically pick up in the fall. So this is going to be a very difficult fire season.
This is the second year of the severe drought. It was here in 14. It's come back. You tell me the Central Valley farmers are being banned from stream water. Is this something they do in a drought? Is this routine? Stream and river water, you can't use it?
They have done this before in different parts of the Central Valley. And it's something, of course, that causes the farmers grief to no end. They've been doing it for generations, taking water from the natural, natural water sources here. And so the federal government and other local governments either step in because of environmental rules or because they want to make sure the water isn't totally taken out for, so they can use it for residential uses. But this is kind of often the tug and pull that goes on in the Central Valley as they try to get water. They can't get enough of their crops. People want, they want to get crops or they want to get food at a reasonable price. Prices are going up. Farms are ruined. I mean, there's just one story after another that goes with this. But again, it shows us that we're in a difficult period of drought, and it's already impacting us just 2 years in. People who know about this believe that this may be one of the worst droughts on record.
And the drought connects to the electricity. I always pay attention to that. The brownouts have come intermittently, and I don't connect them immediately to water except for the fact that California is living through the seven plagues. You have wildfires, you have droughts, and you have electricity brownouts. Now, have you had brownouts in the Los Angeles area yet?
Not had brownouts. I've been throughout Southern California over off and on throughout this past month. I've not experienced any brownouts. They have asked residents and commercial entities to curb their power usage during the peak times in the daytime, save things like using your washer dryer for later at night, turn down your AC, those basic types of things. But they have not put any restrictions on us per se, even though we haven't really had any brownouts or blackouts. But those, again, they believe are coming. You know, you talk about how drought is affecting the water situation, not just in terms of irrigation, but also in terms of power, because we're dealing with the hydroelectric situation in California is getting dire. There's one lake in particular, Lake Oroville, that we've talked about many times up north, that they are worried that they're actually going to have to shut down all power coming out of there because they just won't be able to provide what they need to run the facility.
Isn't Oroville where the complex fire was that we've talked about, the Beckwith fire? Is that the right area?
Well, Beckwith is actually not far from there. It's, we're talking Northern California, but Oroville's actually a bit over from that. It's all relative, but no, Beckwith is not really that close to the Oroville fire, I believe.
I see. So the Oroville reservoir is very low. Last time I checked it, they were taking boats out. And that water level is like Lake Mead for the Hoover Dam. When it falls too low, they can't make electricity. I didn't understand that before.
Yeah, because as water comes in, it comes in at certain levels of the dam or certain intake pipes that are not just down at the very bottom. And when that water comes in and spins the turbines to create electricity, and then is, either run back out or let through the gates, they don't have that ability to bring in the water that they need to run the facility. Right. It's a difficult situation.
The Plagues of California from Jeff Bliss. We've left politics out of this. This is just natural occasion for California, a gorgeous state that is burdened with wildfires, droughts, electricity brownouts threatened, and at this point you'd have to say these are overwhelming. However, there's politics, and when we come back, we're going to ask Jeff, Pacific Watch, Jeff Bliss, to put on his engineer cap. He's going to be Engineer Bliss, because the Dracula of high-speed rail that will not die is back. I'm John Batchelor, and this is Friends of History Debating Society.